My prayer would be, Father, have your way so that others would see Jesus in me. God, may we reflect that in our words and our actions this week in whatever is ahead of us, that we might love you and honor you, and others might see you in us. Amen. Amen. I wonder if one of the marks of maturity is the ability to disagree without becoming disagreeable. Think so? It's a part of becoming a mature Christian that you can disagree, but you're careful with the attitude of being disagreeable. I think if we do that well, we do that right, it takes a lot of grace, God's grace. We're talking about grace these Sundays together. I believe, in fact, handling disagreements with tact is one of the greatest achievements of God's grace in us. Unfortunately, the older we get, the more brittle and stubborn and fragile many of us become in our reactions. And you would think that church would be one place where you could find tact with plenty of room for disagreement and open, good discussion. You got to be kidding. At least not in some of the churches I've seen. In fact, it is rare, isn't it, to find those in the family of God who have truly grown older in grace as well as in knowledge. Seems to be a tougher lesson the older we get. Would you turn with me in the New Testament this morning to Ephesians and find chapter 4 and verse 29. You know these verses, I'll bet. And I want you to be thinking as I read them who it is that's writing this, because we're going to look at an event in his life in a few minutes where he could have used this teaching. This came much later in his experience of growing to be more like Jesus. Paul had to grow too. And he writes in Ephesians 4, 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Wow. Paul, that's tough. That's hard to do. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and instead be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Well, no one could say that better today. Be kind, be gracious with your words. Even in the midst of a serious disagreement. Let's think for a moment about a few things that I think we can agree on about our disagreements. One is that disagreements are inevitable. Is that going to happen this week? Probably. We're all unique as individuals, that's why. There will always be opposing viewpoints and a variety of preferences and tastes, and that's why we have vanilla and chocolate and strawberry. And that's why we drive Fords and Chevys and Toyotas and Chryslers. That's why we have Democrats and Republicans, liberals and conservatives. The tension is just seems to be built into our system. It is what freedom is all about, including religious freedom. One of the really valuable experiences of going through 3 years of seminary for me, which is a long, long time ago, was to nail down most of the parts of my theology. I remember my first semester getting a book entitled Decide for Yourself. And I thought maybe they would tell me what I was supposed to believe. But that didn't work. They said, no, well, you're going to be, every semester, you're going to have a theology class, and you're going to do the work. You're going to find out in the original languages, and you're going to study this book. You're going to get in the scripture day after day after day and find out what God says your theology should be. And then at the end of 3 years, I had to sit, and I'll never forget it. I had Kathy praying for me. She was working downtown Denver. And I had to sit before a panel of three or four of my professors and tell them what my theology was and defend it from Scripture. It was so good for me. It was such a great discipline for me to do. To not just accept what everybody else said, but get into the Bible and find out for myself what I believed. And I still own those theological convictions today, but I'm fairly sure that it doesn't mean that you agree with me about those things. Because disagreements are inevitable. Here's the second thing I think we can agree on. Even believers will sometimes disagree. This has often been a difficult one for some of us. We cannot understand how two people who love God with equal passion and who believe the Bible with equal zeal can come to different conclusions. I love this quote. Listen, God reserves the right to use people who disagree with me even though they're wrong. The truth is, God is not nearly as narrow as many of us are. He may be easier to live with than most of us as his followers. He is certainly full of grace and truth and has more forgiveness in his heart than many of us here do. That is because, unlike us, when God forgives, he forgets. He forgets the sin, he forgets the transgression, and removes it, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. Who hasn't struggled? Don't raise your hand, please. I think we all would have to raise our hand. But who hasn't struggled with a particular sin that just seems to occur on and over again? And you keep going back to God about it. Father, here I am again. I'm sorry. I hate this. I know I need to change. I need to repent. I need to completely remove this. I'm sorry. God, help me again. And the Father says, what sin? He does what we cannot do. He forgives and forgets. That makes a big difference. There will be a time when there will be no disagreements among us. There will come a time when there will be no denominations in heaven. No categories of Christians. Only one family in perfect harmony. But until then, I tell you, count on it, even believers will disagree. It happens every week, all the time, around this place. But until then, count on it happening. Now, maybe some of you remember the little ditty that goes, to live above with saints I love, that will be glory. But to live below with saints I know, that's a different story. That's because we're going to disagree, even here, among believers. Well, here's the third thing I think we can agree on about our disagreements. In every disagreement, there are the same two ingredients. There is an issue and there's a viewpoint. Every time we disagree, there's an issue and there's a viewpoint. The issue is usually quite objective, I think, because it involves principles. But the viewpoint is most often subjective because it involves feelings and attitudes and personalities. And that is the substance of any clash, it seems to me, which could be defined as a disagreement over an issue because of opposing points of view. On a lighter note, in the office, there has been a continual disagreement on which NFL team is better, Seattle or Denver. So far, we have managed to keep a really good spirit. But it's getting testy. We disagree on which team is better. But it's fun so far. And it seems to me that as long as Jared remembers to keep calm and think clearly and demonstrate his ability to negotiate his way through this clash with wisdom and insight, allowing this old man to believe the orange and blue are the best colors, our relationship will flourish. And the day will come when he will know that he was wrong. But that's just my viewpoint. In every disagreement, there is both the issue and then the viewpoint. On a far more serious note, one which brings up the writer of Ephesians this morning, you might remember a disagreement between two godly leaders in the New Testament. Not between Peter and Paul. We went over that last Sunday morning together. This was Paul and Barnabas. Yes, that Paul and that Barnabas. Paul, the godly apostle of grace, and Barnabas, the godly servant of compassion. Oh, they're a wonderful study, both of them. Two more dedicated men could not be found, I suppose, in the first century. Both were effective, and both, I believe, were genuinely spiritual. But what an argument. What an argument they had. The headlines in the Jerusalem Times could have read, "Religious co-workers clash. Evangelists fight over team members." But frankly, I'm glad it's there. We should be pleased, shouldn't we, to read about two highly respected men wrestling over an issue about which both felt very strongly. God's grace allows for disagreements in an agreeable way. Let's look into a biblical account right now, and you join me in this pursuit of how one disagreement between this great guy named Paul and a wonderful, wonderful friend named Barnabas, it all started, some of you remember this, it all started on their first missionary journey together. There was a young man named John Mark. If you want to find it with me, go to Acts chapter 13. This is the account of this disagreement. John Mark went with these two. And in Acts 13, verse 5, I read, "They began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper." So he went along to be a help. And then you read on. We're not going to take the time to do that, but you read on, you're going to find out that they had a wonderful, many ways successful ministry and mission trip, this first one. Then the excitement of the missionary trip screeched to a sudden halt as the three companions came upon some really, really hard times. And finally, it became too much for John Mark, who lost his heart and went home. Verse 13. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John left them and returned to Jerusalem. The young man's dream of missionary service had weakened, and he wanted to go back home. Tired of the relationship on this first journey, the team needed, well, to pull together. They didn't. Tough times followed. You learn actually on this first journey that Paul was stoned. That's how tough times were. But God blessed. God ministered. Ultimately, they endured all of those events and came home and reported some wonderful results. I wonder when the team shared the service with pictures and testimony, if John Mark was in the audience. We may never know. Pick up the story in chapter 15, verse 36, if you're with me. "And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.' And Barnabas was desirous of taking John Mark along with them. Uh-oh. And the next verse. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along. Remember now, in every disagreement, think about some of your disagreements with each other. There are two ingredients, an issue and an opposing viewpoint. The issue here, should a person who defects from a mission trip be given a second chance? Paul said no. Barnabas said yes. Two different men with different styles and different personalities and viewpoints. And what resulted in it? Verse 39, and there arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. Fact is, these two never ministered together again on earth, according to what history we read. In fact, they would travel in opposite directions with different teams altogether. Sometimes that happens. Strong words were shared between them, and personally, I'm glad we don't have all of the conversation in here between them. Frankly, I'm glad not all the conversations are recorded that have happened between you and me. I hope they weren't recorded. But here we find a strong, highly charged debate between these two godly men. Has it ever happened to you? If it has happened to you, you can appreciate the pain of a broken relationship, especially if it's ever happened with a brother or a sister in Christ, or maybe even a co-worker in ministry. It is painful. But not all is lost. Sometimes, as is evident in this story, new ministries are started and serious disagreements result in fresh starts and broader vision. The event or the issue that caused it was not good, but it can result in good things when we're big enough to forgive and forget and say so and move on with grace, God's grace. Verse 40. That was what Barnabas did. Here's what Paul did. Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed, look at this, by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. Paul chose Silas, they departed, and in church, the church blessed them by the grace of the Lord. I wonder, don't you, if somebody, one of the leaders in the church didn't say, Paul, don't spend the rest of your life taking shots at Barney. It will not help you. You can handle this. Get over it and press on. Paul, it will take grace, a lot of grace, but as you leave on this new trip with new people, deal with it, get over it. You will need God's grace. I think based on the number of times Paul used the word grace in his letters later, he got it. Serious disagreement. So sharp, the Bible says, that they never went together again. They headed in different directions, and God blessed this one and that one, and so it worked okay. But I believe Paul dealt with it because he kept saying in all his letters, like the one I read earlier from Ephesians, let no unwholesome word proceed, but by for the grace of God. Protect every word you say. You can just hear Paul saying, I had to learn that lesson the hard way. Too many times, battles like these go on, and the ministry and the relationship is shattered for good. The result is often bitterness, isn't it? Not forgiveness and not healing, thinking, I hope I never see him again or her again, or I'll have nothing to do with that church anymore because of an argument that they participated in. Well, God wants us to learn that it's his grace that can help us have disagreements without being disagreeable and ugly and short and wrong and hurtful. I can't do that myself. I need God's grace in me to do that right, or else my old nature will just rise up and fight, and my ego will get the best of me, and I will want to win again. But it only results in bitterness in me, not healing. I had a friend in ministry call me a few months ago and called at home, and it was no one associated here, so don't worry who this is. Another minister in our conference, and he called and he said, Dave, well, hi. My goodness, how are you? And he said, I owe you an apology because of something I said to you, I think it's 24 years ago. Goodness, I was just kind of frozen. Wonder what that was. I could not remember. I did not know what that was all about. And well, it was mostly the spirit in which I carried things, and I was wrong, and I was kind of jealous of the early growth of Mountain View versus what was going on at our church. And I just want you to know God dealt with my heart last night about that, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Wow. I had goosebumps. I got off the phone. I said, Kath, this was weird. I don't know if I've ever had a call like that before. I give him high marks. And then what it did, it made me stop and think about all the calls I better make too. Because there are a lot of them. Maybe disagreements that didn't end right. I had the nerve to call two. But there's a few left, and they're none of your business. God wants us to make things right with one another. We can only do it with grace, His grace. Can we disagree and not be disagreeable? Can we disagree about things and yet be friends in Christ? Absolutely. Did even Paul have to learn that? Yes. Serious disagreement. I'm sure he's made up with Barnabas by now. Especially with what he wrote to us. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, because it is so hurtful, Dave. You wouldn't have believed that time. Yeah, I do know. I know. It's in the Bible. The only difference between Paul and us this morning is that his events are recorded in history. And we don't know many of ours. But he does. Maybe it's time in your life and mine we made something right with somebody we have wronged. It's going to take a lot of courage. But you're probably like me. You're thinking about that right now, who that is. See, God won't leave that off our minds. Well, I need to do the right thing. God, give me courage and give me grace to approach it honestly from my heart, say what needs to be said, and move on. And I believe the grace of God will help that happen in a beautiful, fruitful, eternal way. Let's pray. God, we disagree about so many things, silly things and important things. And we do get kind of worked up at times, I know. But we're just made that way, Father. It's not wrong to have a disagreement. It's wrong to be ugly about it. It is not wrong to have two different viewpoints about an issue. But it is wrong when it carries a spirit in me that is angry or becomes bitter and sinful. Remove that as far as the east is from the west, and help us take the step that's the hardest of all to make that call and say the right thing. Not so I look better, but that so you are glorified. And it all points to your grace to do it and receive it. Which may be just as hard, Father, to receive somebody's act of grace in words to us. Help us learn from the disagreement of two leaders in the New Testament that it's all right to see a different viewpoint. It's not right to get ugly. Deal with it. Make it right. Say your words and go on. That the ministry and the church, the fellowship of your people, Father, is united, not dissolved. Give us grace to do it. Give us courage to do it. Thank you for demonstrating it and including one such argument in your word. In Jesus' name, amen.